Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. This is Carl from Deviant Legion, and of course, Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff. And nice to be with you today. And as always, my co-patriot, co-host, and co-conspirator is with us. Say hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, Miss Rachel.
Yeah, she's here. And tonight, we're going to be doing a commentary watch on a movie called The Chocolate War as part of our Back to School Hell part of August. And we do want to apologize. We were unable to get to holes like we were the other day, but we are rescheduling that for Tuesday. And we'll
that
have
was totally my fault, guys. I had an emergency meeting pop up like literally an hour and a half before I was supposed to be there. So I had to cancel, and I am sorry about that. But suffice it to say, things went well in that aspect. So good deal there. And we will be returning to holes at some point here soon.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, I must say that this was all because of change of school and going to a open house. And as always, school and family trumps doing a podcast. So not a problem. We could always reschedule. Tonight
absolutely.
We're doing, as we said, The Chocolate War. And this is based on a novel by Robert Cormier. This came out, I think, in 73. So I read it over the summer, and by the I was a junior in 74 in high school. And my high school days were really, really bad. They were not good. Being, you know, in a new school with a bunch of basically in a very conservative area, I was different because of my physical disability, and I ran into a lot of shit. And this particular novel basically taught me how to be passive-aggressive, for better or for worse. And it actually goes through both sections of that. The novel has a much different ending. I will get to that when we get to the ending here. This has a more upbeat ending than the novel. But this is a film that I think is absolutely fantastic. It stars stars John Glover in a really, really nasty little performance as the head monk. You have Michael Island Smith as the main character, Jerry. And also you have two great performances by Wallace Langham as Archie and Doug Hutchinson as Opie. I will let the movie explain to you who they are. This also co-stars Jenny Wright, who was in Near Dark, and Bud Cort has a nice little cameo in this, too. Of course, he's in Harold and Maude. And this was directed by Keith Gordon. I'll speak more about it when we start. Now, this is available on Amazon Prime for free, so please catch up there. And unless you have something ready to say, Rachel, we're going to start the movie.
Nope, I'm already up and ready on Amazon. Thank God we found a free one this time.
Absolutely, I agree. So here we go. We're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then go. All right, and we're going to start the countdown now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go.
Okay.
And FCEG was a small company that for this movie.
Interesting. Okay.
And this is set in the Catholic high school, by the way, so. And Rachel, you're going to love the soundtrack.
Oh, I already am.
I love you.
This is definitely 80s post-punk.
This is all new wave from what I've been hearing, so we'll see how that goes. I'm gonna love this. I mean, this movie came out in what, 88? So
yeah.
I mean, they've got a lot of good shit, like classic tunes to choose from at this point. I am getting a little bit of an echo on you, Carl.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. That should do it. Not exactly a really good football player.
Yeah, I can
see that.
Here's
Archie and Opie. Opie.
You're still really loud, right, Carl.
I'm trying. I've got it down to almost nothing, so hold on. I've got it down to nothing now.
Oh no, you can turn it up a little bit, but I was still hearing like everything they were saying.
Try that. Because I do want to hear the soundtrack because there's a couple things on the soundtrack.
Yeah, turn it up some. You have to hear the soundtrack. Yeah, that's good for me.
Go with God.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. In the bathroom, by the way.
Think about it. I get it. Yes.
The novel is very, very brutally funny. It's satiric. Oh, man. Archie is just so fucking scary. So I love the interplay between these two. And Archie is a character that in the novel and in the movie, you basically love to hate. But you also understand him too, which is kind of scary. Because what this movie does, I think, is it makes us really connect with every character and understand where they're coming from and the pressures that they're under. Okay, and so let's not just forget that you're at a Catholic high school, you have a secret society called the Vigils that have power, you have the jocks, you have all these subsets that and if you're alone like Renault, you have nobody.
Yeah.
Therapy. He needs therapy. And his mother has just died.
She said that.
Down to the quietness of this.
Yeah.
I really like it because you don't know where this is going yet. You have no clue.
Not at all.
Again, the soundtrack is just amazing.
I know, I'm loving it. You won't hear me saying much about the costumes in this one. Definitely not my favorite era for clothing. That's
no.
why they had to make up for it with all the music. Shit, does he have cancer too or something?
Yeah. God, that visual is scary. God. How many times have you heard that shit when somebody dies?
All the time. God, how many times have we sat on that exact same couch in this, in our day?
Yeah.
So he's a shitty football player. Like, I'm assuming there's a reason he wants to play football.
Right. It's just that he wants to prove himself. They go into that much more into the novel. He wants to be something that will please his dad, too, and get him out of his alcoholism.
Yeah.
You know, we take a look at life and we take a look at sorrows and what, how do we react to that? And sometimes we hide. Sometimes we try harder to improve ourselves. Sometimes we just fight and it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
If I get too philosophical, I apologize, but this one makes me really think, and it always has. Ever since I read the novel.
Yeah. Dad's just like so fucking depressed.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Hello. Hello, dog.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just don't know what they flipped out about. Usually they're quiet.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, now I've got to ring the praises of John Glover. John Glover, we featured him in Gremlins 2. I love John Glover. He's all over the place, but man, can he play nasty? And he does it here, and you'll see what I mean. The difference between Catholic education and public school, there is difference. I want to see how you react to this scene. Wait. God. Again, the quietness of this is important to understand.
Yeah, I'm keeping quiet a while on this one.
He's such a manipulative bastard in this. God, fucking hate him in this movie.
God, who's that? I recognize that kid. Poor guy looks
Bailey.
Like he's
Hold
already...
Hold on, I'll find out. I'll find out. That's easy. Give me a second.
Poor guy. He looks like he's already 47 years old and like three sheets into the night. He's got 5 o'clock shadow at 9 o'clock in the morning. He's had it rough.
Wayne Young is the actor's name. And basically, this is basically his only movie. Oh, God. That. I've heard that.
Oh, that was the worst thing a teacher could do in high school. The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you. No, it's the fucking bell, honey. We've all got places to be.
You denied. Stood up to my accusations. Stood up to the bump at you. You turned this classroom into Nazi Germany for a few moments.
Damn. He's got a point.
You did well.
God. So what do you think of that scene?
Fucking sociopath.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, already. But seriously, like I said, I always felt like the teachers that did that, the bell doesn't dismiss you, I do bullshit, those were always the ones that were just this shy of, like, going postal on somebody. And I mean in the sense of, you know, crazy. Because, yeah.
Now, this is Jenny Wright. As I said before, she was in a number of films. She finally retired from acting. She was in Near Dark, too. She was in a number of films. But this is the townies. These are the guys that go to public school. And there's a real difference between townies and going to Catholic school, or in my case, going, you know, being part of the university and being Italian and living in town like I did. There's this separation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You are so cool every day on the bus.
Middle age at 15. Yeah, you ever feel that way? Because I certainly did.
Oh, fuck. I was middle-aged by the time I was 15. I was the one, like, stuffing my backpack with snacks and stuff, and as my classmates would start to droop towards the end of the day, I'd, like, discreetly hand out handfuls of yogurt raisins and shit. I was the mom of the group, so...
So this is all power play. And let's talk about how this is set up. So the school has a chocolate sale. The main person, the main headmaster, is gone for the year. Brother Leon is taking over, and he's trying to usurp power from the headmaster so he can say, I sold this, and I should be. And that, of course, is brought more into focus if you read the novel. But this gives you enough.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's all about being, people think they're special. They're not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's pride. And that, you know, if you're a Catholic, that's one of the big seven sins, my friend. Imagine being 15 years old. In high school, reading this novel, having people push you around and beat you just for being different. And you know, you'll see what happens as things go along. But, this is a real special, special novel and movie to me. And if we're talking about, you know, going back to school, I'm just saying, anyone who's listening to this, I hope you ain't going to Trinity or school like it. Seriously, I'm not against Christian education, but this type of assholes running it, no.
Yeah. I have found recently in the past 2 years, I used to be kind of a bitchy snob about it, but in the past 2 years, I've discovered that the people in the public schools are much more conducive to a decent experience in school. Like, it was all the private schools and the charter schools and stuff that I sent my kid to that had assholes like this behind them, you know?
Right. You know, in public schools are no better. You've got superintendents of public schools who are complete assholes. Trust me. Vicky can talk to you about that.
I understand that, but...
Well, Cormier was also a lapsed Catholic. So, you know, he wanted to make some points here.
Mm-hmm.
She sees what's going on too.
Okay. Some secret society, the skulls kind of bullshit going on over here.
You know, I mean, any school has its cliques, right? Now, I went to public school in Bradford. We didn't have something like this, but we certainly had the jocks who thought they owned a fucking school.
Yeah, fortunately, our jocks recognized that we were a really shitty school for sports, so they didn't make, like, the biggest bodacious deal about it. because they knew we kind of sucked. Oh, but we did have an award-winning band and drama department, so that, yeah, we were, there were cliques in those groups that were pretty, pretty aloof.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a band nerd. I was a band nerd, and I didn't really get into drama until after high school, when I joined the community theater. But I performed, you know, I was a musician too, and also I was the accompanist to all the choirs too. So at least I had that going with me. So they do this shit to people, and you'll see what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people do you know, and I can really relate to this, you know, by bullying someone or getting someone to do something, you know, it's funny. You know, look at the people in the background, and they're laughing at this. And it's, you know, this is the type of shit I can't fucking stand. I've seen this. Dead on.
Good Lord.
You know, one of the things is why don't you just say no? No, I'm not going to do it. Okay? That's what this movie is about. What if you do say no?
Yeah.
And that's where the ending comes in.
Yeah. I bet you... I bet all the marbles in that box are white.
No, there is a black one.
This is a very quiet movie.
Yes, it
tense.
Is. I can't stand him. Help me, Rachel.
Oh, I know. I've had these teachers. Oh, God, these chocolate sales. And, you know, they do gift wrap sales and cookie dough sales. We have a sale out here that does, like, industrial sizes of, like, laundry detergents and fabric softeners and shit. Like, I didn't even know. And why is this necessary? Why does this have to be necessary here?
Well, it's a fundraiser, and I understand fundraisers. But to put it to this level...
Schools should be given enough funding that fundraisers aren't necessary. You should not have your children going out and pleading on the heartstrings of people who already feel bad and pay their taxes just so your school can get a few new books. or like some equipment that they need to be brought into at least the 20th century. And that doesn't include the 21st.
True.
So,
you know, and remember, I was a musician. So, you know, the music programs are cut to shit and they have to do it too. And a lot of this has to do with budgets. And this is a private school. At this point in time, they didn't have the budget that public schools did. So it was more prevalent for a private school like Catholic school, or, you know, if you're out in the Midwest, an Elka Lutheran school or something like that, Missouri Lutheran school, to do that.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I've not had the experience with the private and the Catholic schools. I was always, you know, part of a small public school in the South.
Oh, and this is the whole thing.
Oh, this is heartbreaking.
Just totally fucking mean.
Oh, God, I know.
It's all power plays. It's all fucking power plays. And it's not just schools. It's churches. I've been involved in that up to my fucking eyeballs at one church.
More great music.
Oh, yeah. The score is just fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
And this, of course, is Peter Gabriel. I love this song.
Yeah. You would. <I'm kidding.
laughs> Thanks a lot. So, Renault has been told to refuse the chocolates for 10 days.
Yes.
Okay? So when you went to school and they would have pride rallies and pep rallies and things like that, what was your feeling about that?
Well, I hate
that
them.
It's pride
I
in school.
I absolutely hate them. No. Mm-mm. No, I did not take pride in my school at all. I had a lot of reasons for that. They were pretty backwards.
You know, I mean, when I went to Bradford, our football team was horrible, and our basketball team was fine. But we had a rifle club. They don't have those anymore. And that was something. But you know, you get these pep rallies and this sense of pride in the school, and I always thought it was bullshit. It was complete bullshit. The great Gloria Trinity, right? Well, glory, really, from selling fucking chocolates? One simple no changes everything. Whether it's for good or bad depends on if you watch the movie or the novel. I'll just keep that in mind. You ever see any of those old tattered pillows that you put on? My grandma had one of those. Yeah, we'll lie about this shit. Okay, now we have our other main character, who's basically the class bully. So another thing to watch about this, as you start to see the interactions here, particularly with Archie, look at this shit. I knew people like that all the fucking time.
That's what I smoke.
So, in your high school days, how many assholes did you know? What percentage?
All of them. Just all of them.
I'd say all by about four for me. Just four. And they're people I still keep in touch with. And if you don't believe me, ask TC.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Can you believe this shit in this movie? Seriously, what he's doing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the scary thing. That is the scary thing, because you can see it, and maybe you've even dealt with it in your own life in some way, if not in school, you know, working for a job supervisor you have, or if you're in church and you've got to deal with people who think they own the church, or whatever the case, there are always assholes. And Cormier,
and they're always the ones that are lobbying for positions of power, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Remind you of anything happening right now with an ex-president, perhaps? That being said. That being said, Cormier, in 1973, 1974, and he also wrote a book that was made into a film called I Am the Cheese. This was before YA was actually YA. It was called juvenile literature, I think, at this point. And he's the one who, Robert Cormier, who wrote the novel this is based on, is the person that's really pointed to as the person who started what was known as YA literature. And this is in the 70s before, you know, before it really became a thing in the 80s and 90s. And so, you know, not that children's literature didn't have adult themes. I mean, take a look at Roald Dahl and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or, you know, A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. but this was aimed at high school. In the novel, there's not so much here in the film, but in the novel, there's language. There's a number of violent scenes that are put together. But, you know, this manipulation, this sense of, it's just horrific. And it's something we all run into. And, of course, that's what he's trying to make a point here.
Yeah.
All fucking manipulation. Mm. God.
He's kind of fucking evil.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just got that perfect face for it.
Oh, absolutely. One thing you can say is that as an actor, Glover is outstanding in this film. As a character, how can you not? By the way, notice where the cross is. Right at his dick.
I know. So, creepy dead mom, there we go.
Again, I think that this has one of the best soundtracks because the music really comments on what's going on here.
Absolutely. It's always the sound of a great
By the
soundtrack.
Way, this is a dream. This is not real.
I
want to make that clear.
I figured that out.
No, if you're going through bad times, you definitely daydream for better.
Oh, absolutely. Why do all these kids look like they're in their 40s?
Okay, have you ever looked at kids that are going to a Catholic school?
Well,
seriously.
That's true.
Okay, we had a Catholic school in Bradford, and they had school uniforms and that. I have a friend of mine I don't really keep in touch with right now, but we're in touch on Facebook. Dick Crowley went there. And he would tell me stories about shit. And, of course, we sold music to that. And I also had a convent and piano lessons in Sister Marita. And, you go to a Catholic school, you look like you're 40 when you're 15. Because they scare the living shit out of you.
Yeah. I've heard the stories.
Oh, yeah. But this is actually, you know, this kind of happened to me years and years later where somebody mentioned to me how strong I was with all the shit that was going on.
Yeah. Why is it such a big fucking deal?
He's not getting it yet. You're going against the power system. Okay, so now we're getting into passive aggressiveness. Okay, what that basically is that you challenge the power structure. And I certainly did that. I used to have kids that knocked me down that were jocks. And what I would do is I'd get up and walk right through them again and get knocked down. Go up, get knocked down again. I just wasn't going, okay, here we go.
That's passive resistance. That's not being passive aggressive. That's passive resistance.
Yeah. Here we go. Now both these guys, have you seen these guys before? Dutch Hutchinson is Opie, and who's the other one? And Wallace Langham. They both are acting, still acting. Archie. Hold on, let me get there. Wallace Langham is now part of Perry Mason, the TV series. He had a run on CSI Vegas and in several TV movies and that. So he's basically TV. Doug Hutchinson plays Obie.
Yeah.
Okay, is still acting.
Wow.
I love this scene. It was an iZombie.
He's
just going to
wear him out now.
Yeah, I love this scene. I'm going to shut up.
Wait, who was the person in iZombie?
Doug Hutchinson. Bud Court. This is wonderful.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. Smart teacher. Such an ass.
No, absolutely. So is there anyone in this movie you actually like other than Renault? There's only one correct answer to that.
Well, I mean, Bud
Goober.
Court so far, but...
Bud Court. Goober. Now, he spent all this money to try to make money, and he's going to lose money, and, of course, that's going to kill his idea that he's going to take over.
Ugh, ridiculous.
Yeah. And so it's about now, it's about Renault not selling the chocolates, and of course he's going to get absolute crap thrown at him. Doesn't realize it yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good Lord.
Yes, Renault. Of course, you know, it's all about blame. You don't take the blame yourself, so you find a scapegoat. But trust me, I know that shit too.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm really rotten in that school chair. Rachel? Yeah, I'm part of it. I'm not playing football. I'm not going to track it.
Okay.
Let's talk about, okay, so Renault is told to say no to the chocolates, but to say yes after 10 days. He doesn't do that. And it's a, you know, you say it's passive resistance, but in this case, it's viewed as passive aggressiveness by others. Okay, and particularly Brother Leon and the Vigils. And so they need to put Renault back. They need to stomp on. And so now we get into the second part. And this gets rough. Okay? Just letting you know. And of course, he's not being effective. Exactly. This gets a lot more serious than you expect.
Yes.
And that's right. You become a symbol. You know, if you're fighting against something and you're doing it in such a way, you know, whether or not you call it passive resistance or passive aggressiveness, you become a symbol. And I understand that. Because in many ways in my high school, I was a symbol.
Yeah.
To some people, anyway. No, I mean, I always talk about finding your family and finding the people. And one thing that I learned in high school was maybe you don't find family, but you find people who are also outcast. And you start forming together. And, you know, I mean, several of the people that I know one that committed suicide. Because of the pressures of the assholes there and so on and so forth. And, of course, it's all about pressures, and that's what this is about. And Archie's under pressure now, too.
Oh, yeah. They all are. It's like a regular David Bowie song up in this bitch.
I would have never made that connection, but, yeah, you're right about that.
And I think this should just go to show, at least thus far, why you don't want to use gangs of high schoolers to commute your dirty business for you.
Yeah.
And in all of this, I am just inclined to ask exactly how many boxes of chocolates Brother Leon has sold so far.
Exactly. Which, by the way, is not answered here definitively, but it is definitely answered in the novel. But I'll give you a hint.
Oh.
What do you think?
Is it one of those nice round numbers?
Yeah, I would say so. It looks like a circle almost.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's a nice round number.
Yeah.
You get it. Round is in the shape.
Okay. Jesus.
That and the only incentive for selling these chocolates thus far is, like, school pride for your weird Catholic school you go to.
Yeah. And, of course, there's more to it because Leon used money he wasn't supposed to. You know, so there's this pressure happening. You know how they say that things come to a head? And, of course, that's like a pimple, right? Well, this is a huge pimple.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, you know, this begs the question: if you're under pressure like this, how do you handle it? How do you go through and decide what to do? And I. You know, we run into situations where, you know, our emotions get frayed. We're just tired of shit. And, of course, most of us would just, like, yell and scream, right? But there are those of us, and I'm generally one. Once in a while, I'll break that. But I'm one that keeps a lot of stuff in. And part of that was how I was grown up because one of the things my parents say, you know, boys don't cry. You know, you've got to keep all your emotions in and you've got to be strong. And God damn, that can have a real effect and a negative effect, I think, on how you handle things. You know, luckily over the years, I've had a couple people in my life who have said you need to let this shit out. You know, but as a general rule, I'm not into confrontation. And I keep things to myself, and I try to think of it from the other person's perspective. But once in a while, man, can't do that shit anymore.
You just got to let it go.
Yeah.
Damn.
Playtime is over.
You don't want to know? Hey, Obi, did you want to go to school today?
Hell no.
You came to school today.
Hell yeah.
Look at how he's acting here. You know, it's he's almost out of control. He sees the pressure. He knows what's happening.
Oh yeah.
And it's almost
absolutely
like fleeting. The acting in this film is tremendous. And let's not forget Michael Elan Smith because he has to pull it together by being a stone. He can't react.
Yeah.
And man, the casting here is just tremendous. We're telling.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I so get this. Now start seeing what's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, I got those too back in the day.
Yeah.
That's happened to me. I was actually paddled in front of the class because the teacher said to steal my clothes so he could paddle me in the class, in front of the class. That happened too.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Because I got this. I read this novel and I got it. And for better
yeah,
or for worse.
I can imagine.
But I read this and it was like, my God, you have this down.
I thought the vigils didn't believe in physical violence.
All about fucking power.
Oh, of course. That's all any of these.
And by the way, so far, what you're seeing here is directly from the novel. It is only in the ending where it changes, and we'll get to that. But right now, we are in the novel about two-thirds of the way through.
I mean, that was so intimidating. They wrote it in marker and not crayon. Jesus Christ, I don't know why they can put flowers in the corner
nice.
Or some shit. Draw a little picture of a line of people holding hands across the bottom, Red Rover style, man. Hand across America.
See, Archie is out of place, too. You get that?
Yeah.
He's
oh, absolutely.
Out of place.
He's too manipulative. And he's trying to take
no.
shit over, I think.
Well, I don't think he's trying to take shit over. I think he's okay with where he is. But he likes where he is because he uses his brains. And most of these people
yeah.
don't use their fucking brains. Right? He feels superior to them. And superiority is another thing, part of pride.
Yeah. Well, and the first few years when I was much younger, like in elementary school and they had us doing it, I would participate in the fundraisers. And I did that for a few years until it dawned on me that it was just free labor for a bunch of prizes that I was never going to get. And even if I did, my mom would like much rather just go down to the store and buy a better version for me than what I'd get from that. And
exactly.
you know, my time is worth money. Not. And if I'm going to be selling for something for you, I don't mind. You know, the proceeds going to like charities and stuff that I'm helping out and stuff. But I'm not your free fucking labor just because I'm a kid.
You know, being a musician, being a church musician. I have done some things like I hooked up with the library and developed a library corral where we raised money for the library or we do special
yeah.
concerts at church or things like that. And that is absolutely the way to go. but it wasn't about pride.
Right, and if it's stuff that I volunteer for, that's a completely different story. But, you know, the pressure that these schools put on children to do this shit is ridiculous.
He still has that superiority, though.
I know that look.
Oh yeah.
Good Lord.
Again, Peter Gabriel. Lots of Peter Gabriel in this, by the way. And I love this era of Peter Gabriel, too. We haven't really talked about Keith Gordon. Keith Gordon is the director of this. Keith Gordon started out as an actor, and, of course, you would best know him from Christine, the John Carpenter film. He was also he was also in the Brian De Palma film with Angie Dickinson, and I can't remember offhand. But he decided he wanted to direct, and he brought this to MCEG, and they gave him the chance to do it. This was done on about $500,000. It did not make its money back theatrically. But once it hit hit DVD and particularly hit the old now I'm blanking out. But anyway, it was the video stores and that it really got a nice push. And now, though it has a small cult, and I'm hoping that this will make the cult bigger, because I think it's a great film. But he went on to do some really great films. A Midnight Clear. He did a Vonnegut a film called Night Mother. He did Harrison Bergeron, too. I mean, he really good. And, of course, look at this set. They're making, of course, the scene they're making the freshman cell. And, of course, that happened a lot, too. Stealing money. So of course, he didn't sell them. You understand. Yeah, and so, yeah, he becomes important too. Oh, God. You're a faggot. How much did I hear that shit? Now, I doubt you ever ran into that, but I know with your kids and so on and so forth. You know, this type of stuff is really, really brutal. God, Robbie, why do I like films that have scenes like this? Seriously. Oh, fuck. Sorry, I can't say much here. This is what happens when you fight the real power. They stomp on you. You with us, Rach? Sorry, I didn't realize you got raptured. Hello.
Hi, you've been talking to yourself for a while now.
I know. Well, you know, you're watching the movie. I only have one screen, so I finally figured out you weren't with us. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Important. Yeah, he thinks he's smart as Archie. No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's definitely the gay one.
I always found it interesting that he's got that butterfly,
okay,
which is not in the novel, and I always said like a dead butterfly. And that there was no picture. Fuck the poor, you know, he's in a poor neighborhood. He's trying to better himself.
Yeah.
Right, like me.
another.
Now, these dream sequences are not in the novel, so I find that interesting, too. And, of course, this is the theme song. We do what we're told.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing is, as you see the novel and how it actually ends, and we're getting there, you read it and it's heartbreaking, but still, you're with Jerry. You're always with Jerry. Now, you're with Jerry here, too. And yeah.
Well, I would have killed for the power to part people like that in the hallways. At least it's not gum this time.
Yeah. And of course, they all know.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Of course, he just mouthed that, by the way.
Oh, I know. And it's weird. Really weird.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're starting to get it. You're starting to get it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at the assembly. We're on the sale. This is where the movie and the novel part ways. Now, I'm not going to say anything about the novel's ending until after the movie's over. Okay?
Okay.
Then when I say what the ending is, then I'm going to ask you whether or not which one you prefer, and do you wish that the movie did the ending in the novel. Okay?
Okay. He's not your buddy, pal. He's not your pal. God.
Again, the soundtrack. I keep forgetting how good of a soundtrack this has.
Yes, and if you watch it with the subtitles, it tells you all the titles of the songs before they, or as they're playing, or when they start. And yeah, it's all of the titles are pretty telling.
Okay, so they have a boxing ring. You know where this is going?
Vaguely, but I'm not going to say anything yet. The big old baby bark bark. Tossed around.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And manipulation. He's so good at it. And that's another question I'm going to ask.
He's easy as fuck, man. That seems suspicious. He gives no fuck.
Thank you for revising my grade.
Mm-hmm, I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Okay, so here we are. They're going to read out the punches, and this is where it changes.
That's true.
And he's dead right.
That's true. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
evil bastards. I have to see where this is going.
Oh. We're told to do.
Damn.
How brutal is this?
Okay, so this is interesting. Yeah, of course the tickets are all going to be against him.
Arthur Robillard.
Damn, son. Let's say he just looks at a push move there.
Okay, I just let everyone know we're in completely different territory now from the movie to the book.
Yes.
We'll explain later.
Okay. Oh, how quickly the tides have turned.
He actually played into their hands in this version. Okay?
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. By the way, I love this ending. So the question is this real or is this what he's thinking happened?
That's what he's thinking. That's his mom right there.
Yeah, I know. So what actually did happen?
No, I think it actually happened, but he's just seeing her because she's disappointed. He's disappointed in himself, and like she kind of manifests when he feels that way.
Mm-hmm. And that's one way to put it. Okay? I do like this ending because it brings up a lot of questions. This is a great little extra scene here.
Oh, God.
Better yet. Hey, hi.
They're so juvenile. Oh, God.
And that's the whole point.
Yeah. You almost feel bad for him. He was such a good evil genius.
Yes, he was.
Oh, and really? Running up that hill?
Yeah. Now, isn't that the song from Stranger?
No, it's the song from Kate Bush, but yeah, Stranger Things is popular for its resurgence.
Right. So there you go. What do you think of the film? First time watch.
Well, I think it was pretty good. I'm interested in here to hear how the book might have ended differently.
Okay. So let's talk about that. Okay, we get to the point where I'm going to pause this. We get to the point at the athletic field. Okay, and so the novel, it's Jansa versus Renault. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It keeps that way. Archie does not get a second. A second marble. Okay? And what happens is basically in the novel, Jansa beats the shit out of Renault, breaks his jaw, and he has to go to the hospital. It is intimated that he has basically been broken mentally, and he's pulled out of the school, and his folks move. Archie is still doing what he's doing at the beginning of the film. He's still doing the assignments, and nothing has changed. Now, given the two endings, which one would you prefer the film would end with? The one that was given, which I think is a good ending, The people behind it, the producers, absolutely told Keith Gordon they were not going to do that ending. So, and this is where Steven and I really break on this film, because he just hates the ending they put in the film. He so much wanted the ending of the novel. So you get to vote on that now that you know.
I think either one would have been fine.
Honestly. I like this one because it's more, it leaves it up to your imagination what happened to, you know, if it really happened the way that Renault sees it, or you know, what happened particularly. But the novel, when I read the novel, and you know, it comes that no matter how hard you fight, you're going to lose, and that. And that sense of defeatism, it made me even want to be more like Renault. You know, it doesn't matter if you lose, because you still fight against the power.
Yeah.
And it made me more motivated back when I read it. I think there's an argument for both endings, but it would have been interesting if they would have kept the original ending, though I can understand that that would have hurt it even more at the box office, I think. People, you know, it's a depressing film as it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, and with that, maybe it's a little bit of overkill. I can get that argument. I'm okay with the movie and the way it ends. I'm fine with it. But I also understand if you know the novel and you know, you want it to be true to the novel, you know, changing that ending does change things quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
So any final thoughts on the film?
No, I think it was pretty good. Definitely a great school film. Not in my usual wheelhouse, but it was not bad. It was definitely worth a watch.
Well, let's talk about your wheelhouse, because that's happening Tuesday. Let's talk about what we're going to watch on Tuesday. Go for it.
What are we doing on Tuesday? I'm sorry.
Holes.
Oh, yes. We're doing our rewatch of Holes on Tuesday because we had to cancel last week. So Holes on Tuesday, 8 p.m. 7 Central.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the film?
It's hard to say much about the film without really giving any of it away, but it is based on a book, and it is excellently based on the book. There is literally only one kind of minor detail that they've changed from the story to the book, and it did not affect anything whatsoever. It is basically line for line the story that you remember reading if you have read it before. So fantastic book and a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm. And that is on Tuesday. Now, tomorrow on Marcus Town Radio with TC, he's going deep with Tom Petty. Now, Tom Petty is one of Tom's TC's favorite artists. And what he's doing is going into a lot of deep cuts, things you haven't heard, and that'll be worthwhile. And then we said what was happening on Tuesday. On Friday, we have Cathode Ray Mission, and we're going to be doing the films of Richard Linklater, and I will be part of that along with our host, Adam Ferenz. We have a number of other things happening. We'll be doing some other commentary watches, and also that'll be with Josh Buckland. We're getting that set, and hopefully we'll do that, if not next week, the week after. Also, I'm awaiting Vicki to come back from her vacation on Monday from her trip to Washington State. And then we've got a show ready to go with her and John Killian. We just have to schedule it. And I'm hoping maybe that will be at the end of the week. So that's what we're doing now. Keep with us. as we head into Labor Day weekend. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And a week from tomorrow, I will be subbing for TC on Rock This Town Radio. And we're going to go Noah's Ark Part 2, Carl's version. It'll be all songs about animals. And, of course, you're welcome to join us for that if you like, Rachel. That's what we got so far. And we got a lot more planned for September. Thanks for being with us. And I think at this point it's time to say good night. Shall we say good night?
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks a lot for being with us.